Do you like to learn about random wild stuff? You know, the things you didn't think you needed to know about, then realize you should? Then welcome to Nothing Off Limits, the podcast that gives you one place to go for something different. Impress your next party guest with your unusual body of knowledge. And if you dig the show, get more information at LadyFoxEntertainment.com and subscribe, rate, or review. Thanks. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Nothing Off Limits. You may have heard last week's episode with Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, where we discussed incest as it relates to childhood sexual abuse and trauma. From the clinical perspective, we reviewed the causes of non-consensual incest in families and the long-term effects of early childhood sexual abuse as these children then become adults. Now, over the next two episodes, we're going to talk about the other side of incest, consensual incest, also called consanguinum mori, starting with the story of a woman who met her half-brother when she was 33 and fell in love with him. This is a result of what is termed genetic sexual attraction, or GSA, and you're going to learn today why not all incestuous relationships are abusive or traumatic. In fact, many consider them extremely special, and the bond is so strong that they want to spend the rest of their lives together and have the right to marry. Her name, which has been changed to protect her identity, along with her voice, is Christina Shai. Christina is an activist fighting for the rights of all consenting adults to share love, sex, relationships, residences, and marriage, regardless of race, religion, sexual orientation, number of participants, and whether or not they're related. Christina's activism is particularly focused on GSA and consanguinum mori, and she offers confidential one-on-one assistance to anyone experiencing this and who needs somebody to talk to, particularly when it comes to adoptions and reuniting with biological family members or legal issues due to being consensual adults in an incestuous relationship. She wants everybody to know that she does not claim to be a professional counselor or lawyer or legal professional, but she is here to support you. To connect with Christina and her Consang Positive community, you can visit her website. It's liliesgardener.com, her blog at christinashai.tumblr.com, or you can email her directly at liliesgardener@protonmail.com. I'll also provide all of these links to you in the show notes. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining the show and for having so much bravery to do this.
I guess this has been a long time coming. I've never been able to let the people that visit my website know exactly why I do what I do. So now Christina Shai is actually coming forward and telling her story. And it's my coming out piece, I guess you could say.
I love it. Now, you heard the Dr. Wish episode, right? And I'm really curious about your thoughts on it.
I think she had really good advice for people who are dealing with adults abusing minors. She was really spot on with that. I did notice that she did not address two adults in a consensual relationship who are related. And I wish she would have touched on that topic a little bit, but I guess that's why we're here now, so we can cover that part of it.
Totally. At what age do you believe that it is consensual?
Well, that's kind of a double-sided question. Teenagers are going to sexually experiment. That's what they do. It's part of their nature. So I think that if you're just, you know, a couple of years apart or a year or two apart, then it's okay to experiment, whether it's with your sibling or with an outside person. And I think this is much different from an adult relationship because, you know, an adult definitely needs to stick to someone who is of legal age. In the area where I am, the legal age of consent is 18. So I think in an adult consanguinamorous relationship, everybody needs to be 18 plus.
Okay. And you're talking about sexual relations, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Now, you used the term consanguinamorous. Can you tell us what that really means?
Yes. Consanguinity is where two people are blood related in some way. So amorous being in love, or the word love itself is the root word. Full Marriage Equality coined the term, and it's a combination of consanguinity and amoris, making it consanguine amoris, which is two people who are related who are also in love.
Awesome. Yeah, it's hard to say.
Yeah, it's a bit long, but that's what we've come up with so far.
So I would love to dive in and have you share your story of meeting your half-sibling.
Yes, well, I was adopted when I was young. I was raised in an upper-middle-class family. We didn't have any mental abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, no bad experiences with any of that. We were quite normal. We were raised Southern Baptist. We went to church every Sunday. So I am religious. And when I got older, I started wanting to find my biological relatives because in the family I grew up in, several of us were adopted and none of us were blood related. So you see differences between yourself and your other siblings when that happens. And you wonder stuff, you know, where did my eyes come from? Why is my hairline like this? You know, why are my fingers shaped this way? Why are my toes so stubby? You know, and you compare to everybody else and you don't see anything that's part of you looking back at you. So later in life, you start wondering what other health problems are genetic that I don't know about. And, you know, maybe other people look like me. So you get curious and you want to start finding these people. So I did begin, and I found many, many family members across the country. And one in particular looked very, very similar to me. He was 5 years younger than me, and we found out that he was my half-brother by our father. And it was really instant. We didn't know what GSA was, but we were insanely attracted to each other's personality, looks, the whole nine yards. He was everything that I was looking for in an ideal mate or spouse. It was very, very intense. And I was very worried that something was wrong with me because I didn't know how he felt yet. But the more we talked and the closer we got, we did eventually share our thoughts and feelings with each other, and we found out that we both reciprocated these feelings. And so we started digging on the internet, and we found out about genetic sexual attraction, GSA, and we are like a classic cookie cutter case of GSA, which made us feel better about it, you know, because now we know, okay, there's a lot of other people that experience this, especially people who were separated either at birth or throughout their formative years. And so that made us feel better about it. And so we discussed it, and we discussed GSA. We learned as much as we could so we could make informed decisions about our personal lives. And we decided to move forward with it.
What is GSA? I know that when you and I spoke offline, you mentioned a lot of statistics. Like you just said, you know, it made us feel a whole lot better about this attraction to one another. So tell us a little bit more about what you found.
Well, when we went on the internet, we found that children who were separated either because of adoption or, you know, what foster care system, you know, there's lots of different ways that families can get separated. And when the separation happens during those formative years while you're growing up, you do not develop the Westermarck effect, which is kind of like that ew factor where you don't want to picture your parents having sex, or you don't want to picture your brother or your sister having sex with someone. It's just like, ew, that's gross. I don't even want to think about it. And that's the Westermarck effect.
Yeah, that's actually, I had mentioned in the Dr. Wish episode, I said myself, I have the Westermarck effect because I thought, man, I've never been sexually attracted to any of my family members. And so I guess I have it.
I have it too with my adopted family. Everybody that I grew up with, I get that complete ew factor whenever I think about their sex lives. And I don't want to think about it. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have Westermarck when it comes to those family members. But with me and my half-brother, since we did not grow up together, we didn't even know that the other person existed while we were growing up. And we only found each other when he was 28 and I was 33. So it was kind of like, okay, there's no Westermarck effect here. If I would have just met him in the grocery on the streets, I think I would have been attracted to him, even not knowing that we were related, because we have, you know, similar features that attract us to each other, and we have a lot of the same likes and dislikes, lots of things in common. And that's important in any relationship, whether you're related or not, you know, to have someone that's your best friend, that you can tell anything to, that you're comfortable around, that you have a lot of the same interests, you can relate. So I think that that's important in any relationship.
So tell us a little bit about the two of you, and do you have things that you do together that are special? Like, what makes your relationship just like any other relationship, and why is it especially intense?
Well, we are pretty normal in terms of how our relationship works. We like to go to movies. We like fishing. We like hiking. We like camping. We both love animals a lot. We have a lot of things that we like to do together. And of course, that strengthens our relationship just like it does with any other relationship, you know, doing things together and bonding, being able to talk about anything that we want to talk about, whatever's on our mind. The bond that we have is something that we like to call the double love bond. And that is that we love each other as family members. And that's a very strong bond to have, you know, to love your family member and get along with everybody and, you know, share what family members share. But then we also have the love of spouses to each other. The feelings are very, very, very intense. When it's great, it's really, really great. And when there's a problem, it's a, you know, it makes you feel worse than worse. But it is possible to work through your issues just like with any other relationship. And when you do that and you're in a happy, healthy, loving relationship with your relative, it can be the most unimaginably positive experience in the entire world. I don't think anybody can really understand it unless they've been through it.
Now, did you know, like when you went on and you're like, what is this JSA thing and why am I so attracted to this man and all of that? Did you know that it was illegal?
Yes, I knew enough about laws of incest to know that incest is illegal in most states. And I know that it was worded that way to protect children from being abused by adult relatives. But I don't think when they wrote the laws, they considered that two adult relatives would want to be together. And so there, I think the law fails us in a very important way.
Now, you mentioned that there are some states that allow it. I was under the impression that pretty much nobody allows incestuous relationships. So tell us more about that.
Well, there's several, lots of states actually that will allow like second and third cousins to marry. Some places even allow first cousins. There's three states in particular, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Ohio, that allow even closer forms of consanguineous relationships to be legal. It does vary from state to state. So if you're wondering which state is right for you out of those three, I highly recommend that you contact lawyers in those states. Criminal defense attorneys know a lot about the incest statutes because it has to do with criminal conduct in a lot of ways.
That doesn't apply to half siblings like your situation.
No, it does apply in those three states. I can't remember exactly which state it is, but there's one state that will allow an apparent parent and adult child to be together. They can't get married, but they can have sex. I know there's one or two of those states allows half siblings, full siblings. I think that those two particular states do not allow parent adult child relationships. But like I said, I'm not an attorney. You would need to contact an attorney in that state and clarify that for sure.
Okay. So once you realized or knew, you're like, okay, I know that this is against rules of society, of government. Did you decide to stay together or did you end it once you realized that it was against the law?
We decided to stay together.
Did either of you tell anyone? Do other family members know about it? Do your friends know about it? Or do you have to keep it secret to everyone?
Well, we live in the United States, so we keep it a secret from everybody in the United States because it is illegal. And most states, you are looking at a prison sentence of anywhere between 5 years to life in prison simply for having sex. I have a friend in South America where this kind of relationship is perfectly legal, and he knows about it, and I discussed it with him at length, and his very simple response was, don't worry about it. It's natural. It's your family member. You love them. You know, and it made sense to me. You know, I'm like, okay, if other countries can get to that point where it's okay, it's obviously not destroying that company for being like that. So I think it would be great if the United States in general would start to follow suit, maybe begin with amending their laws, like the three states that I mentioned, where it is legal to some extent, and then branch out from there.
But you didn't tell your parents, right?
No, neither one of us has told our parents, no.
Why not?
Well, because parents, just like anybody else, they may be shocked, they may be horrified, they may not support it, they may even go as far as to be malicious about it, tell other people, tell the authorities, contact Child Protective Services, try to get us thrown in prison for the rest of our lives. And, I mean, nobody wants to be locked up simply for having sex.
Have you ever dated anyone outside of this relationship?
Oh, yes, yes. I was married at one point. I'm divorced now. I won't really go into too much about it other than we had some differences that we couldn't reconcile. We are still friends. We do still keep in touch. We are on good terms. But and I still love him today, but it's the same kind of love with my brother, but more, because the family element. I love him as my family. I love him as my spouse. I love him as my soulmate. He is everything that I could have hoped for in a husband and more.
Did you feel like empty in some way? Is there anything different about that, about being with somebody who's not your relative?
Well, yeah, there's a big difference. You don't have that double love aspect that I explained earlier. You just have the regular love that you would have for someone who is your spouse and your best friend and your soulmate, but not with the love of family included in that.
So the marriage that you had, was that prior to meeting your half-brother?
Oh, yeah. That was decades before I met my half-brother.
Okay. So you were already divorced by the time you met him?
Yes. I'd been divorced for more than 10 years before I met my brother.
Because one of the questions I was going to ask you is that, like Dr. Wish had talked about, there's an isolation element to this type of relationship. For some people, she mentioned that it's difficult for them to have healthy relationships with anyone outside of that. Was that ever true for you?
I don't think so. I don't feel isolated at all, and he doesn't either. We have an entire community of people who live in secret, and we all support each other. We all are there through the bad parts and the good parts. We are a wonderful community. We try to support anybody in any kind of consensual adult relationship, regardless of what their blood relations are or are not.
Has anyone outside of that ever responded in a negative way or discriminated against you if they found out or they knew?
Well, being an activist and having a website up and having an email that's out there for anybody to contact me, I get tons of emails. I get emails from the press that are curious and want to do stories. I get emails from people who have been in these relationships and did not know there was a community there. And they thank me for it. And sometimes they want advice. Sometimes they just want to unburden themselves from this secret that they've had inside them for years and years and years. And then, of course, I get quite a few people who give me, I guess, what you'd call hate mail, negative mail. You know, they tell me it's disgusting, it's awful, we should die, we shouldn't be allowed to live. And I've had some that don't agree with it, but they're curious and they do come to me in a respectful way. And I will have a serious discussion with them, and we can share our views and we can communicate about it. And sometimes they change their minds at the end, and sometimes they don't, and we agree to disagree, and that's okay. The ones that I really don't really respond to are the ones that just resort to name-calling and threats and, you know, very immature reactions that are basically just their emotions reacting, and they're not really thinking clearly with their heads, and or maybe they're not even mature enough to think it out properly.
You know, I almost liken this community to the LGBT community in some ways, in that they also struggle with coming out with their orientation or with their relationships, and they often have a lot of fear surrounding that or shame surrounding that. Would you agree with that?
Yes, actually, our movement has started off very much like the LGBT movement, you know, years and years and years ago when they first started off. And I see a lot of parallels with this. We're still in our fledgling stage, as I call it. You know, we have a lot of plans. We have a lot of things we want to do. We want to also change the laws and make things more equal for all consenting adults. So yes, definitely. There's a lot of parallels to the LGBT movement.
Yeah. Now, what do you do? Like, I do a separate series for gay men, and they have plenty of coaches and therapists and people who get it, who they can go to for support. But it's a lot different with your community because you have to be so careful with the authorities. What is the biggest challenge? Like, if people in your community need help, they need counseling, they have regular relationship issues just like everybody else, what are some of the challenges associated with finding the help they need?
Well, the issue with that is that most counselors are allowed to keep certain things confidential, but there's some things that they are obligated to report. So say there's a sister and brother who are in a relationship, and she has kids from another man before she and her brother get together. There's that concern that her and her brother have a relationship problem. They want to go to a counselor to resolve it, and they can't do that because then the counselor has to report that they are brother and sister, and then the Department of Child Welfare gets involved. They want to remove the kids from the home. They liken it to child sexual abuse, which is awful, but it is not the situation that we are in. We are not talking about abusing children. We are talking about consensual adults who want to be with each other and just happen to be related.
Shouldn't it be confidential? I thought that whenever you go to seek medical care, there's, like, you know, those forms that you sign where you're like, I'm not allowing you to keep record of this or whatever.
Well, unfortunately, doctors also are held to the same standard. If the sister gets pregnant by the brother and they want to get some genetic testing done, if the doctor finds out that they are in an incestuous relationship, they are obligated to report it, although they are allowed to report it confidentially so that their names are not given out. But it still destroys the couple. It destroys the family. It destroys the core. It's really bad.
Yeah. So that's why your activism is trying to open up that whole idea of we should just allow this so that people can have access to the resources they need.
Yes, exactly.
What is your opinion on GSA couples or other types of incestuous couples having children?
Well, I've given that a lot of thought. And first, I want to point out that just because consenting adults are having sex does not mean that they are planning to procreate. So procreation in itself is not a valid reason to keep consanguine amorous people from being together. Furthermore, all people carry recessive traits that can potentially cause birth defects in varying degrees. Some people have more serious genetic issues than others, but we do not forbid these people from procreating. We leave this very personal decision up to the individual. Some examples of people who are at risk for certain genetic defects to their future children include people with clubfoot syndrome, people with dwarfism, Tay-Sachs disease, sickle cell trait, or sickle cell disease, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia disorder, women over the age of 35. Absolutely none of these genetic issues I just mentioned have any type of law against the person with the issue having children. This choice is a personal choice, and it is the right of every individual to get the facts, assess the risks, and make informed decisions based on the information they collect. It should not be any different for couples in consanguine amorous relationships either. The rates of passing on genetic issues are no higher than any of the conditions I just mentioned. In fact, their risk is considerably lower than several of the conditions I listed.
Wow. Because I think that that's where people get like, they're like, what? Because it's my understanding that, you know, if two siblings have a kid, that the kid's going to have, like, you know, three eyes or something.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. But
isn't there a term for that?
For three eyes?
No.
I guess I'd put it like this.
You termed it the other day when we talked. You said the mutant baby myth.
Yeah, a lot of people think that just because they're related, these things are going to happen. And it is true that recessive traits come out the more generations continue the inbreeding. But if it's only one generation of inbreeding, I've met many, many, many couples that have perfectly healthy children. I don't think their risk is any higher. In fact, it's lower than a lot of the issues that I just mentioned. Think about it like this. If you think someone should not have children based on their risk of passing on a genetic defect, ask yourself this. If I had one of these genetic issues, would I want someone else deciding whether I can have kids, or would I want to make that decision for myself? Each person is entitled to live, love, and procreate as they see fit, as long as they are in non-abusive relationships with consenting adults. This should be no different for consanguine amorous couples.
And that is part of your activism, which you are fighting for rights for people who are adults. They're making the decision as an adult, and it's completely consensual, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So tell us about some of the things that you're doing with your website and with your community to help change this, especially since it's so sensitive. Like, you don't want to expose your own identity in the process. How are you doing it?
Well, I have my pen name that you mentioned, Christina Shy, and that's the name I go by. Maybe one day I will even change my real name to Christina Shy once we get some laws changed. We're just at the point where we need to get this out there. We need public awareness. Once we get public awareness started, then we can do other things. We can, you know, start a nonprofit organization. We can help fund attorneys for people who are having legal issues because of them simply being together and being in love and having sex. So we're just at our starting point right now with the public awareness, and we want to branch out eventually after that, hopefully sooner rather than later. But regardless of how long it takes, we're here for the long haul.
But you're also fighting for marriage equality, is that right?
Yes, we would like for that to happen as well. I think before that's going to have to happen, we're going to have to get these incest laws revised so that consensual adults can be together regardless of their blood relations, so it's not illegal for them to have sex. And then after that, I think we can start trying to change laws even further so that people can start getting married. But I think just as with any other kind of activism, you know, you take it in a series of baby steps.
Do you want to get married?
Oh, yes, I would love to get married, especially with my brother.
Now, you have a very strong community that you're forming. I termed it consang positive, you know, like we say sex positive. So tell us a little bit about your community and how people can get in touch with you.
Well, we have 200 or 300 people that I can just think of off the top of my head in the community that I hear from on a regular basis. We have several hundred more that I don't hear from as much, but they pop in from time to time. We have a public forum called Kindred Spirits. I can give you the link to post up if you would like. Everybody must be over the age of 18. They must make an account, and they must post that they are either in a consanguine amorous relationship or they're an ally of ours. And once they post their age, because we do screen for minors, then we can upgrade them to see the rest of the private forums and to be able to interact and give support there. And that's a good starting point. My website has the link on it, as does Jane Doe's website also has it as well. And Full Marriage Equality also lists it. I believe the Final Manifesto also lists it as well. And that's a really good starting point if you want a forum that's for the support of relationships like this. This is not a site that you can go on if you want to look for porn. This is not a trash site. So if that's what you're looking for, definitely go somewhere else. This is not for you.
Yeah, I had somebody on Twitter follow me, and there's a lot of porn stuff associated with the account.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit. We screen out for that on Kindred Spirits. That's not what we're interested in. We're talking about serious relationships that affect all aspects of life.
Now, will you tell us briefly, your website is liliesgardener.com, and it has a lily as its symbol and as its branding. You designed that, and all the colors mean something, and I would love for you to share it with the audience.
Okay, so I designed a lily flower. It is based off of some books that were written by Diane Rinella called the Forbidden Flower series. The main character is Lily Beckett. So that's where we get the Friends of Lily from, kind of like the LGBTQ community has the Friends of Dorothy. We have the Friends of Lily. So the lily symbol is something that I created with a black circle around it. The colors all represent something, red representing the blood that binds us together and this rare opportunity of double love. Green has the emotional correspondence with safety, as in the safety of being with family. It also represents endurance, as our relationship must endure so much discrimination and hate from all those people that cannot or will not understand. Purple, representing the mystery and magic of our relationships. It is a very rare color in nature, as rare as our relationships. We are the rare few in this world who were presented with this opportunity of double love, and we are rarer still, as we are the few who had the courage to seize this most rare opportunity. Black, representing the mystery our relationships are shrouded in due to the oppressive laws we must live and love under. The flower itself, representing the Friends of Lily, and a nod to the Forbidden Flower series written by Diane Rinella. The circle around the flower, representing the circle of the family, lover, best friend, and soulmate. The circle is our relationship, come full circle. We also have a poem that is based off of the colors and the flower that was written by Full Marriage Equality. And it goes, sealed with blood, a love that's doubled, a red-hot bond, but lovers troubled, a garden of lilies, a crimson flower, a stalk of purple, of royals and power, leaves of green for assurance enduring, mysterious rarity, attraction alluring, courage to challenge taboos on affection, the forbidden reinforced by prejudiced rejection. Hidden and shrouded in shadows of black, pain and pleasure withstanding attack. Lovers entwined with soulmate sensations, family and friends more intense in relations.
Wow. That is really powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I've learned so much through reading through your blog, and I had no idea that there was this entire community of people who are fighting for rights.
Yes, there is. If you go on my website and you look at the links page, I've got many, many, many helpful links for anybody who wants to branch out off my website and learn about other websites that cover even more stuff than I cover. So my links page is definitely something to check out if you're curious about this.
You've shared a lot about the activism piece and about consenting adults should be able to love, be together, live together, and even get married. If you have one major, or maybe there's four or five messages you want to leave with the people out there listening, the myths associated with incest, any of it, what would be the final messages that you'd like to leave with people out there listening today?
Well, my final message is this. America was founded on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. People always forget about that last part. Freedom isn't just about doing whatever you want. It's about forging your own way in the world and finding out how to be your best self. Hmm. It is about making the world a better place for you and those around you. My relationship with my brother is the best relationship I've ever had. Someone else coming and trying to ruin everything for us would not change what we've had. This relationship has made me grow as a person, and it's given me a reason to live. This is the path that I have found for myself, and it has brought good into the world. And yet people still want to tell me that I do not have the right to decide what is best in life. They say I do not have the right to love this man and be loved by this man. If they had their way, we never would have gotten together. And then I never would have learned of all the things I've learned. Imagine if every time you touched your partner affectionately, people harassed you. Imagine if you had to run in fear of the police finding out you were just having sex. Imagine if taking your kids to the doctor meant possibly losing them forever. What would the world look like then? I don't think it would be a place anyone would want to live in. But that is the world everyone else is forcing us to live in.
Yeah.
No one should have the right to do this to another innocent person. We have not hurt anyone else, and we have not hurt each other. The world could only be better for letting us be free.
Wow. You're consenting. You love each other. You're growing as people. Isn't that why we're all here?
That is. It's exactly why we're all here. We all need to keep growing and keep becoming better people. Make this a better world for everybody that comes next.
Christina, I want to say thank you so much once again for being so brave and for being an activist on behalf of your community and sharing your story and your time and all of your knowledge with the audience of Nothing Off Limits. I hope that you being here has opened the eyes and minds of some people who perhaps had some assumptions about incestuous relationships that are consensual.
Well, thank you very so much for having me. I'm blown away that I got this opportunity to share this with you and with your listeners. So thank you again. This is wonderful.
Everybody out there listening, once again, I'm going to provide all of the links in the show notes, but it is liliesgardner.com is the main website. Check out her blog. Lots of great articles on there. christinashy.tumblr.com or email her directly. liliesgardner@protonmail.com. And stay tuned for the next episode in the series with Jane Doe, who's going to share her story of her consensual incestuous relationship with her dad. More to come. Thank you again, Christina.
Thank you.
Have a great topic you'd like to hear discussed on an upcoming episode of Nothing Off Limits? Email us at ideas@ladyfoxentertainment.com. In the meantime, please subscribe, rate the show, and go to ladyfoxentertainment.com to sign up for our email list and to check out our resources page. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next time.